And turn to the book, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 14. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 14. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 14. I'm going to move this thing up here so I don't hit it too much. And we'll begin reading in verse number 22. The Bible says this, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hands and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent him out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we do thank you for your graciousness and kindness towards us. Father, we pray now that you'd speak to us through your word, that it might be that, Father, which would help us. God, that we might live for you. We pray, Father, that if there are any who are lost, that they might be saved today, and for the saved, God, that they might be strengthened to live for God. And we ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we read in this portion of Scripture this morning, we see that Jesus deliberately sends the disciples out into a boat. We see that they are constrained to go into the boat. And he tells them, you're going to the other side. He gives them instruction what to do. And then he does what he does. All right? What he's going to do. And notice that he didn't feel like he should have to micromanage their every movement. He told them what he wanted them to do, and he expected them to do it. And so as he came back down, he's coming across, and he sees that they're in trouble, and they see him, and he sees they're afraid, and he says, Don't be afraid, it's me. And Peter, of course, he says, If it's you, Lord, bid me to come to you. And he bids him to come. And he goes out there, and he's out there on the waves, and they're boisterous and everything. But he begins looking around, and man, he doesn't like what he sees, and he begins to sink, and he says, Lord, save me. And the Lord saves him. And then right after he saves him, he says, they get in the ship, and they worship him, and they get to the other side, and waiting there are some people, and it's important to notice it's from the people from Gennesaret. If you recall, that was where possessed man of the legion was. All right, this is after. Remember, whenever he was there the first time, that he told them, that he wanted to go. The maniac wanted to go with him after he'd been cast the devils out and gotten saved. He wanted to go with him, but Jesus said, "No, stay here and tell your friends and family what great things God's done for you." And they all wanted Jesus to leave then. But notice now when he comes to the shore, they know he's there. The Bible says there, when the men of that place had knowledge of him, that is when they knew he was there, they remembered him from before. That man of Gennesaret had done the job he was supposed to do, and he brought all the people out to him. And this is a great story. Peter being saved and going out on the water, venturing out and all. But I would like to look this morning at the guys who stayed in the boat. This morning I'd like to talk just for a few minutes about the guys who stayed in the boat. I'd like to talk about this subject, fair weather Christians in a foul weather world. fair weather Christians in the foul weather world. Notice this first before we go any further. Notice that they were constrained to serve. Jesus told them, the Bible says that straightway he constrains his disciples to get into a ship. So they were constrained to serve. You know, God has, if you are here this morning and you're born again, you have an obligation, a duty, a charge, a command to serve God first. Before you do anything else in your life, everything in your life should be motivated by this one thought: I must serve my Savior. There is a constraint to service. And if we fail to see that, we're going to become fair weather Christians in a foul weather world. Hey folks, you look around you, how many places when you go to your place of work, they encourage you to serve God? They got poster boards and everything saying, don't forget to serve God this week. We want you to work, but don't forget to serve God. How many of you see that where you work? You don't see that, do you? Don't count on it. This is a foul weather world we live in. People who do not want anything to do with God, they don't want you to have anything to do with God. You and I need to remember that we are constrained to service to Christ. If you claim yourself to be a child of God, God expects that of you. It's not an option. It's a requirement. Constraint to service. Notice also that he had a carrier secured. He said there, he constrained his disciples to get into a ship. To get into a ship. He's got a carrier secured. You know, God's got a carrier secured for your service. It's called the local church. It's where you belong. In the house of God, serving the Lord. You know, a fair weather Christian is not going to be found in church. It's a foul weather world. People are going to think you're odd if you go around singing hymns like we did this morning out there in the world. I remember when I worked at Best Lock, I'd sing the songs of God all the time while I was there. And one guy asked me, he said, why are you always singing that Christmas music? I said, Christmas music? What Christmas music? He said, what music you sing? Isn't that Christmas music? And I said, no, man, that's not Christmas music. That's Christ's music. That's the songs of God. I wish you would sing them. Took an opportunity to witness to the man. Fair weather Christians in a foul weather world, folks, they do not stay in the ship. People jump in and out of churches. Boy, they get upset with one pastor or a family in a church, and they want to move to another church all of a sudden. Why? God's got a carrier secured for them to serve in. Why do they want to leave? Because they're fair weather Christians. They're in a foul weather world. You need to understand that. Everything in this world is against you and I serving God. The Bible says they went out from among us because they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, doubtless they would have remained with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. That's why people don't stay in church. Because they don't really believe in God. You know, Peter got out there and walked on the water. All those other guys could have done the same thing. All of them could have. It wasn't just Peter's special. Only Peter can walk on water. No. If when Jesus said, come, if Peter got out and they said, well, I'd like to go too. If they'd all got out and started walking on that water, they could have all done it. Hey, they had here a carrier secured. Some place for you to put your effort and to put your heart into. You know, I don't think, you know, we've had people in the past come here to join the church. And when I talked with them, I detected from their conversation they had some problem. And I asked them, I said, well, are you having difficulty at your church you're going to now? Well, yeah, there's this thing that came up with some other couple there at the church, and they were all offended, and they were going to leave church over it. And I said, well, I'll tell you what you do. I said, you go back to that church and you make things right with them. You discuss whatever you need to discuss. And afterwards, after you do that, if you still really believe it's God's will for you to come here, then we'll talk about it. Because they didn't live far, they just lived down the road. And they went back to their church, and they talked to that couple, they made things right, and guess what? They didn't come here and join. And that's good. That's good. Because you don't want to fill a church with a bunch of disgruntled church members, whether they're disgruntled with the pastor or disgruntled with people. Folks, that's fair weather Christians. We ought not to be such. We ought to be the kind who are willing to go out in the storm. Ought to be the kind willing to listen to God in the midst of the storm. Notice also that there was a course set by Jesus. He said this. He said they were to get into a ship and to go before Him to the other side. He set them a course. He said, you go to the other side. We're here, go there. Folks, we're going to the other side. In the midst of that travel from here to heaven, on the other side, we've got things to do. Folks, we have a course set. If they hadn't been on the course, they wouldn't have seen Christ as He walked across there, I don't believe. Because He was going where He told them to go. That's where they were going to see Him. Folks, fair weather Christians in a foul weather world don't stay on course. They don't stay on course. They don't have their priorities straight. They aren't thinking about what God wants out of their life. They're thinking about what they want out of their life, and then when they get a chance, they'll do something for God if they can. I was talking to a guy yesterday. He said, well, maybe we'll come out there sometime. And I said, don't say that. Don't say, maybe I'll come out there sometime. Set a day and come. Because if you say, maybe someday, someday will never come, folks. Someday never comes. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, the Bible says, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Bible says we have to serve the Lord today. Today. None of us, I don't know that I'm going to live to see tomorrow. If I go today, though, I want to know that when I go that I was on course for God. Not that I was one of those people who just, you know, well, I'll get around to doing something for God when I get a chance to. I'm glad Jesus didn't look at my salvation that way. Well, I'll get around to dying for them whenever I get a chance. I'll take away their sin whenever I have an opportunity. As soon as I get my schedule cleared up a little bit, then I'll do something for them. God didn't do that. He is all set on us. He is set entirely. His whole heart and mind and will is set on you and I and lost people to get them to heaven so that we can have an eternal joy with Him. And yet we'll say, well, I don't really have time to do anything for God this week. Folks, we ought to be willing to rearrange all of our priorities. Understand this. God knows you as an individual. He knows your life. He is not asking you to do anything that is not in your power to prioritize your life to do it. It may mean you have to rearrange your schedule. You may have to lose a little sleep now and then. Oh, well, I got to have my sleep. Yeah, like Jesus who prayed all night and then was walking out on the storm, right? Well, that was Jesus. He was in a human body just like you and mine. The Bible tells us that He got weary. He got hungry. He felt pain. He's not asking you and I to do anything He didn't do Himself. Not a thing. Except to die and to go to hell. He did that for us. So we wouldn't have to. There's a course set.
He wants us to stay on that course. Notice also, there's a conflict. There's a conflicting storm. He says, he said there that when he sent the multitude away, he went up in the mountain to part to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. The ship was being tossed with waves. You mean, but understand this, Jesus knew the storm was coming. Right? Listen, folks. Just because trouble comes up in a church doesn't mean it's time to abandon ship. I don't know how many times I've seen that. That's the most horrible thing I've ever seen in my life. People, but fair weather Christians in a foul weather world do that. They abandon ship. Now, I'm not talking about you changing location. You move 30 miles away from here. You know, something might change. I don't know, 40 miles, you know, you might change. But you know, you're in a church and you're in a church that's preaching the gospel, sound in doctrine. There's no reason for you to abandon ship. Troubles are going to come. I'm just going to tell you. You can't live in your home with your wife or your husband without trouble, can you? And you love them, right? Oh, wait a minute. There's too few amens there. You love them, right? Wait a minute, I'm still not hearing it. You love your husband and wife, right? All right, that's better. You guys, if you're not going to amen all the time, you got to at least amen when you ought to, for sure, amen? All right. Well, you don't expect your home not to have trouble. Why would you expect the church not to have trouble? The devil hates this place, you know. And he wants to get in your heart and your mind and stir you up and get you all set on being upset about being in the house of God. And it works on folks. It really works on fair weather Christians in a foul weather world. Well, look what happened here. He said there that there's a fourth watch of the night. Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. People get so driven by their fears. You know, everybody has fears. But you don't have to let your fears control you or determine what you're going to do. You know, Daniel went to the lion's den. The Bible says when he knew the order was signed not to pray to anybody but the king, he opened his windows and went ahead and prayed to God. You think he didn't know what the consequences of that were? Of course he did. You think he said, "Well, I can't wait to get down that lion's den with those lions." You think that's what he thought? No. He didn't want to go in the lion's den any more than anybody else did. But one thing he did have, a desire to live his life for God, come what may. Come what may. He wasn't afraid of the storm. He wasn't afraid of the storm. There are going to be conflicts. The Bible says, "Yea, and all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That there's going to be a trial of your faith. Well, you think you're going to just be able to say, "I believe in Jesus," and no one's going to try that? You don't think the devil's going to try that? You don't think the world's going to try that? You think your flesh is going to rebel against you wanting to live for God? Of course it will be. There are conflicts. Storms of conflicts that rage in our hearts. In this world, people get depressed very easily. People get depressed very easily. But folks, you think Paul said, you know, that there were times when he felt bad. What about David and his men when they came back to Ziklag and the whole city was burned and all their stuff was taken? And the Bible says they cried and cried and cried. But what does it say David did? Well, David set his hope on God. He stopped being afraid. He stopped being mournful. He stopped being sorry. And he started saying, "God, you're in control of my whole life. And this is here. You must have a direction for me to go. There must be something I should do. I'm going to set my faith on you. I'm going to set my hope on you. I'm going to turn to you. What do you want me to do?" And God told him. Folks, everybody has conflict. Everybody has storms that they face in their life. But fair weather Christians do not survive well in a foul weather world. They were full of fear. But notice, in the midst of the, even though there was a conflicting storm, there was a called servant. Look what happened. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. I'm here. Don't worry about it." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." Here's Peter. He's in the same boat, the same storm with all those other guys. And he looks out and Jesus says, "It's me." And he says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to me." And he says, "Come." Well, you wonder, why doesn't God speak to me? Maybe it's because you're not willing to listen. Maybe you don't have an ear open for a call. Peter wanted a call. He wanted to walk with the Lord. He wanted to see the power of God. He wanted to see the hand of God. Like I said, all those guys could have walked on the water. He told Peter, "Come." Because Peter was willing to go. Fair weather Christians in a foul weather world never hear a call because they're too worried with all the fears of the storm. Too many what ifs that they think they can answer themselves, that they think they can put their hands on and control themselves. Too many what ifs. You know, folks, I have absolutely no control over any of you. None at all. I have no power over you to constrain you to do my bidding. I don't want any. If you don't love God enough to serve Him, I certainly can't make you. But what was my job? My job is to preach the Word of God. You know, I do this by faith. You know, I can't get overtime. I don't get overtime. Go somewhere, "Oh, they're going to pay me time and a half." I don't get that. I don't have any guarantees except one thing. God loved me. God called me. He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. And that's why I'm here. I have no control over anybody in this community. But God, the Holy Spirit, has promised me that if I'll give them His Word, He'll deal with them. Folks, have you heard God's call? Well, no. Are you listening for one? Are you hoping He doesn't call you? When they sing that song, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior," you're saying, "Pass me please, O gentle Savior." You know, that's a fair weather Christian. God, call Brother Maxwell, not me. I'm too busy. I got too much to do. I got too much on my mind. I got too many things I'm worried about. Fair weather Christians in a foul weather world, folks, they don't ever hear a call. And that's a shame. I've heard God call me all my saved life. Calling me to be faithful to Him. Calling me to love Him, to sing His Word, sing His songs, to love His Word. He called me to teach. He called me to preach. Calling me. "Tim, come here. This needs done. I want you to do this. This is what you need to do." And I don't care what comes. I don't care what comes, folks. There's a called servant. The last thing you need to understand about this is that there is a caring Savior. Fair weather Christians in a foul weather world, they forget all about the fact that God cares about them. God cares about them. Notice, and it says there in verse number 29, "And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus," which is an amazing thing. "But when he saw the wind boisterous," notice what happened. When they heard the footsteps on the steps, they stopped listening. "When they saw the wind boisterous,
He was afraid. And beginning to sink. Well, he got out there. He was answering the call. But things looked bad for him. He got looking around and said, well, this is impossible. There's no way I can do this. He was already doing it. But he looked around and said, I can't do this. It's too much. And what happened? He began to sink. And he cried saying, Lord, save me. And Jesus said, when I get a chance, I will. No, that's not what it says. I'm sorry. I'm reading the King James Version. And immediately, is what the King James says, immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, now you might think he's being mean. He's trying to help Peter. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? We have a caring Savior. You have a caring Savior. When Daniel in the lion's den, like I say, I don't think he liked it, but he knew God loved him, even in the midst of it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace said, we're not careful to answer you in this matter, King. He said, if this is not the happiness, that's fine. Our God's able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. He said, but even if he doesn't, we still know he loves us, and we're not going to serve you. We still know he loves us. Caring service, Savior, that's what we have. Fair weather Christians in a foul weather world forget all about their caring Savior. Forget all about the fact that he loves them. What happens to them? What happens to them? I'll tell you what happens to them. The reason they become fair weather Christians is first they start to love the world. They start to love the world. 2 Timothy chapter number 5, or 4 rather, says this, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and my time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Here Paul is in prison. Know he's going to be killed for this cause of Christ. And he's perfectly satisfied. Because he had no tie to the world. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence and come shortly unto me. Why? For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica. What happens? How do you become a fair weather Christian? You start loving the world. You start loving the world. Wanting to stay at the dock and not get in the ship. Second thing that happens to them is they lose fellowship. They lose fellowship. They start to lose fellowship with the people who you know, they'll get up and stand and testify in church. And so, folks, be careful when you say this. You stand up and testify in church and say, I love everyone in this church. And I love my pastor. And I love God. And I'm so thankful to be here. You better make sure you're here. Otherwise, all those words mean nothing. What happens? You begin to lose fellowship with the people who you claim to love. Even though they might come to church, you begin to lose fellowship. What does he say here? He says in 2 Timothy 1:8, he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. There are certain things that it's going to require of you to serve God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. You know, the things that I do, I don't do because I hate people. The things that I won't allow in my life, I don't stop it because I want to rob everybody of fun. It's because I love God. And I want others to love God. And I want them to see that my faith, my life, is not just what comes out of my mouth. It's what they see me do all the time. What they see me do all the time. You know, just to give you an example, when I'm at FedEx, I'm almost done, so it's okay for them to be in there.
At FedEx, they want us over. If you come on there and you don't have an ID on you, you don't see the ID, you're supposed to stop that person and confront them and ask them if they have their ID. And if they do, then you're supposed to ask them to show it to you. Everybody knows this. Well, the other night, I was out on the ramp around the plane, and there's a guy standing there, no ID. There were three other people standing there. I walked up and I said, "Hey, do you have an ID?" "Yeah, I got an ID." Well, can I see it? "It's broken." I said, "Well, that's fine. It's broken. I understand. That's no big deal. It's broken, but you have it on you, right?" "Well, yeah. It's in my back pocket." I said, "Well, can I see it? You don't mind me seeing it, right? Since you have it." "There, you've seen it." He is all put off because I asked him to show me his ID. He knows that's what you're supposed to do. But he's put off because I did it. Folks, the gospel's been preached long enough, people know what's right and wrong, but they just get put off when you want to do it. And I told him, I said, "Don't get mad at me. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. It's not meant to be offensive to you. It's not meant to call you a criminal or a thief. It's what I'm supposed to do." And it's the same thing with the principles of the Word of God. The lives we live, the things, I don't drink booze. I don't. I'm not going to be where I don't go to places where they're selling in a bar. I'll go to a restaurant. I have a choice there. But you're not going to find me in a bar somewhere. Because God says not to drink it. I'm not doing it because I just hate people who are in bars. I don't hate people in bars. I wish they'd all get saved and come to church. I'd love for them to be here and see the will of God done in their life. But me going to a bar isn't going to do that for them. Losing fellowship, people lose sight of what it means to walk with God and to walk with God's people. He said there, "But according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things." He is suffering because he's living for Jesus. "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." He said, you hold fast those sound words, that right doctrine, that right teaching, "that good thing which is committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they that which are in Asia are be turned away from me, of whom are Phargellus and Hermogenes." They are turned away from me, he said. They turned away. He said, they used to walk with me, but they turned away. Why? Because they lose fellowship. They lose sight of what it means to be in fellowship with Christ. Paul said he wanted to be in the fellowship of his sufferings. He's willing to suffer reproach, persecution, harm and loss for the cause of Christ. And then lastly, what happens to them is they lack faith. They lack faith. They stop believing that God loves them and cares for them and will act on their behalf, that He will make what changes need to be made if they'll be faithful to Him. They lack faith. All right? That's why they jump in and out of churches. Because they lack faith. They don't really believe that God loves them and has a plan for them, a call for them. They don't believe Jesus is coming, otherwise they wouldn't be doing those things. We talked about that in Sunday school. He that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. See, there's all these things tell us the truth about those sort of things. In the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 1, he says this, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, and only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecy which went before thee, that thou by them mightest wage a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. Holding faith and a good conscience. That is, if I do right, God will do right by me. If I honor God, God will honor me. Notice, which some, having put away concerning faith, they put away concerning faith, have made a shipwreck. What are they doing? They're trying to, I still go to church sometimes, but they put away faith. They stop believing God. He says here, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. They may learn not to blaspheme, not to use their mouth to revile God, God's word, God's work. Folk, I get sick. I will not put up with people talking to me about other preachers and other churches. I don't want to hear that junk. I don't know everything. I mean, obviously, if some pastor or some church went and robbed a bank, obviously that's wrong, But man, people call me. I have people call me and ask, well, you know what that pastor's doing? Well, no, but do you know whether or not he's doing it, whether or not he's violating the Word of God in doing it? Well, they can't tell me that. Why? Because they don't have faith in God and in His Word. Jesus said this in Luke chapter number 18. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He be bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. And He says this, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Folks, we need to get a hold of ourselves. To get a grip on our hearts and our minds and our lives. Lest we become shipwrecks. Lest we become castaways. Lest Jesus come and not find us faithful. Lest He come and find us fair weather Christians in a foul weather world. He said, you're not going to have peace in this world. You only have peace with me. In this world, He said, you shall have persecution. He said, but don't be afraid. I've overcome the world. Let's stand to our feet and bow our heads for just a few minutes.